Comments made on the Serotalk Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotalk Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast, bringing you the latest in mainstream and assistive technology news.
www.serotalk.com.
Sponsored by Serotech, makers of System Access, SAMNet, and SA2Go. You'll learn, you'll laugh, and you'll probably question our sanity from time to time. Learn about the latest in technology, trends, meet the mailbag, and much more. And now, here's your host, Jamie Pauls.
Welcome to Serotalk Podcast 211 for September 15th, 2014, minus the alternate audio track in Chinese. I'm Jamie Pauls.
I'm Ricky Enger.
I'm Joe Steinkamp, playing with a 4.7-inch screen phone right here in my hand with a home button on it. And, oh, this is so cool. And it, oh, yeah, it runs.
Does it have the power button on
the side? I was going to say.
Yeah. It has a power button on the right side. Yeah, just like some other phone we heard about. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we'll definitely talk about that later. Along with how there's a album nobody really wanted but got instead. And all that coming up in a little bit.
It's going to be downloaded with or without you.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, nice. That was very well done. Bullet the iCloud. That is not the only news in town. We actually did find three or four stories that are Apple related here to talk about in the first break. Huh, Jamie?
Correct. Screen reader lovers, as we've said before, look forward to, or maybe don't look forward to, downloads or releases of new screen readers. Man, has this been kind of bantered about on Twitter here this week. JAWS 16 public beta. Let's not be too unkind here, folks. There's some interesting things. Command search. Yeah, if you've got a lot of commands in your screen reader, then you probably
might make life a little easier.
Mm-hmm. Professional and home license, that's okay if mm-hmm. you care about that. Semi-auto forms mode makes a lot of sense to me. I think that's pretty cool. The enhancements to convenient OCR, if you run across one of those inaccessible PDFs, it's not going to replace the need for DocuScan Plus or any other such OCR program, but yeah, that's cool. One would expect enhancements to Office 2013. Just basically, and the one thing that probably has not been spoken about at all, but probably is the most important, and that is discontinuation of Windows XP support.
Yay!
Yes, yay! I can totally cheer for that. All you XP people, sorry.
Moving on into the 21st century, yay! Oh, wait, yes. No, that feels like it was pre-21st century, but it that was Windows 98 in the millennium. But, you know, 10 years plus of any support of any product is pretty impressive, and let alone like practically 14 for XP. And the good news is that, you know, that makes life a little easier for the support teams and having to support things here at our own company. It was great to be able to say goodbye to the letters X and P, except in the cases of Dungeons and Dragons, where it's quite useful.
Mm. Yes, there you go. Well, one thing we can say goodbye to soon is iOS 7, assuming that you wish to upgrade. And if you do, maybe you want to grab the updated iOS Access for All by Shelley Brisbane. She is going to be releasing that. So if you buy the book between now and when iOS 8 is released, you'll get that update for free. If you have bought it before now being, I believe, Friday the somethingth when she posted this.
Yes.
We'll say the 12th, I believe.
There sure. Why not?
If you bought
pre-17th,
it before then.
That's all that matters. Pre-17th.
That's right. If you did buy it before then and you want to get the updated copy, you can either buy the new book in its entirety or you can buy just updated chapters. So you can have the original book plus the updated chapters. That one's going to be $5. So great for Shelley and all of you who have this wonderful book.
You know, Jamie could have put some of this information in a show notes doc, in Google Docs. You could actually be reading notes about Shelley and, of course, the JAWS upgrade all from a Google Doc, because Google has announced that there are some updated abilities for screen readers and low vision users to be able to use OneDrive. Oops, wait, G Drive. Wait, no, Google Drive and Google Docs and a bunch of other G type stuff. This is kind of a long time in coming. We heard about this all the way back in February, and then JJ talked about it in Orlando during AT Trainers. So we knew that this was coming, and it's kind of neat that this has finally sort of arrived. And certainly those of you who are in major universities that are facing down the barrel of, say, a G situation, this might be a little helpful. And of course, NVDA has been doing some in this area to help that work a little better as well. But grab your screen reader of choice to play with this.
Right. NVDA is the preferred screen reader other than Chromevox, apparently, for this sort of access. Using NVDA along with Firefox is going to give you your best results, according to the Google Docs team. I've seen a couple of people trying to play with it with JAWS with minimal success thus far, but it may just be a case of really needing to dive into the documentation and do certain things to make this work properly. I think there's still a little ways to go for this to be really usable for everyone without a lot of workarounds, but I love to see that we're getting somewhere with this, and there have been some improvements.
And iOS versions of googly type things have been getting better. We had that broken version of Hangouts for a while, right, Ricky? I mean, it was like kind of like, we did a demo and it looked really great. And then they broke it. And
they updated it about 6 hours after we recorded the demo. But they fixed some of that again. And that is a good point. I would like to look at the Docs suite on iOS again, in addition to Hangouts.
Now voice and Hangouts are bestest of friends. We often talk about how these companies are incredibly huge and have lots of products. And why don't they talk to one another? Well, it seems like some of the changes that recently came out in Google Hangouts, the quote unquote S word version of, that thing, IPE. You know that thing? So that thing, it's Google's version, and it is on a lot of googly type devices as well as iOS and other platforms. Now works better. There was rumors, we'd been talking about this on that Android show for a while, that they were going to absorb voice to some extent and GTalk and other things. Google's a real hard thing to put your finger on right now. It's like, you know, this requires Google Plus. Nope, now it doesn't. This requires this. Now it doesn't. And so I think Google's getting ready to do something probably related to Android L, but they are definitely getting a lot of products aligned and in certain ways to work and talk back and forth with each other. Certainly that happened with SMS earlier in the year. Basically, they want Hangouts to be your number one place for all your communications.
I guess, once all these things become more accessible, we can just break into song or we could break into song a little early and help compose a new audio logo for the RNIB. This is kind of interesting. You get some name recognition. You get your picture on a website. You don't get no money. Just saying.
If you want to be recognized for your hard work, but not monetarily, then this is a thing for you. You can send in your submissions. And of course, they do need to be fairly short. So you're not going to compose a 8-minute opera of any kind. Don't take the progressive metal approach. And you know, this is my 16-minute song celebrating the RNIB. Although I do wish somebody would do that. You might not win the audio logo challenge, but I would like to hear it.
Well, you could be singing or whistling a happy tune in the back of an Uber car. No, it seems that there is a major lawsuit happening in California in regards to Uber and the use of, let's just put it this way. A passenger had a very bad encounter with their guide, and some things happened. Definitely read the show notes to be able to read all of this. I don't want to summarize too much here. Because good Lord, did Twitter blow up with people making accusations and assumptions about what happened between the user and the guide, and what were the correct guide rules, and the school should have been notified, and on and on and on. It got really nasty. But you should read this because it is a very interesting concept when it goes to trial on public conveyance versus personal vehicle and what rules apply and if ADA comes into play. California, in fact, at the time of this recording, is considering a ban on all ride sharing and carpooly type things. So this is going to be a big battle for a long time, whether it be accessibility or not.
Pretty much, because I think that Uber doesn't want to be defined as a taxi service necessarily. All of these people are independent contractors. And while that may be the case for taxis too, those are federally regulated in a way that Uber may not be. There were some other things that happened in addition to the one guide story, i.e. blind people standing with service animals in really bad weather. And not only were they left behind, but the ride was canceled and they were charged for the canceled ride too.
Oh my.
Yeah. Not
happy
good.
For the privilege? Yay. Oh.
Yeah. So there's got to be some work done here to, you know, whether Uber and its drivers are, whether they are mandated to provide transportation to service animals or not. This can be a real PR nightmare if Uber and services like it don't educate their drivers as to what can happen if, you know, service animals are not transported. And I'm kind of reminded of a discussion that a buddy and I had on a previous show when we were talking about why is it that people are so against having service animals in their vehicles. It's like they'll have the McDonald's wrappers and, you know, a sticky lollipop on the seat. But, oh, no, I can't have black dog hair on my pristine upholstery.
Situations that are played in there, and there is some
there
people.
There are those things, yeah. Yes. But and I think a lot of times it really is just pets are so not sanitary.
Well, broaden it out. Yeah. It could be someone taking their dog to the vet. It could be the groomer. It could be a vet with an epileptic seizure dog, or it could be a vet with a stress dog. I mean, there's a lot. The definition of service animal is getting kind of broad, and it could apply to more than just the blind, which I think is also interesting to think about for a little bit. But I think there's a showdown a coming when it comes to these ride sharing apps, and there's that old, you know, adage, it lacked the ability of being tried before. You know, why hasn't this been done? And, well, you know, now it's being done, and there is a lot of political pressure from existing cabs and groups like that. And in some cities, Uber and Lyft have put pressure on the cabs to be more responsive or use the resources they already had to provide a better experience for customers, which is great. That is fantastic. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is going to be a really nasty big battle. And as if ride-sharing apps already didn't have enough fun with Uber telling Lyft that they were trying to sabotage them and Lyft trying to sabotage them / Uber doing the same thing, I don't know. This is a shame because these apps certainly do help our community.
Indeed, indeed. So like Joe said, watch that. Look at that link. A lot of times these stories will be updated. So yeah. The story itself might even be updated by the time you read this.
And you may even see newsletters from your guide school if you are in those alumni situations or if you're contacting them. It's something to be aware of, especially if you travel, right? If you use those services in a unfamiliar city, you know, something to be aware of. And unfortunately, when I worked in rehab in Houston, we had that with regular cab services, period. I mean, that was the same thing sadly happened with cabs, and I think we all could tell horror stories of people we've known that have gone through that. And you find your favorite drivers. I remember a driver who said, if I'm in your zone and I'm not busy, call me. You know, you make good friends with good drivers, especially if you tip them very well. Sadly, you had a tendency to have a little priority seating, and as such it was. Well, coming up after the break, you're going to be able to hear a little bit more about the Apple event. Yeah, some stuff has happened since Jamie and Buddy sat down on episode 210. We'll also take a look at the mailbag and have some conversations about where old music came from and where it's going. Oh, and big interview at the end of this episode about Windows Phone. Stay with us for all that and more on Sarah Talk 211.
Are you tired of browsing through thousands of sites just to find the news you want? What about recipes, shopping, radio stations? Wouldn't it be great if there was a single place where you could find all these things and a lot more? There is. Discover Samnet with the widest and most complete content ever assembled for the blind community. And speaking of community, you can use Samnet's voice chat, instant messaging, and users forums to communicate with family, friends, and others who share your interests. To learn more about Samnet, please visit www.serotech.com. That's www.serotech.com. Or call us toll-free at 866-202-0520. We're Serotech, the Accessibility Anywhere people.
Welcome back, everyone, to Serotalk 211. Yes, that's right. That's the name of my 311 cover band, 211. You'll be seeing us going around the country, opening for Fish. Yeah, I think that's how that works. I'm not sure. talk about things that were in an iCloudy haze of a kind. you already
heard
Jamie and Buddy's wrap-up of the Apple event from last week. Since then, the U2 record showed up whether you liked it or not. I do like the tweet that I kicked out saying I went to the refrigerator and opened up the crisper and there was a U2 record. and the conformist sellouts. Ricky, you were telling me about an article you read over the weekend.
Yes. It was actually an author I follow on Twitter, Peter V. Brett, which, by the way, you should read the Demon War cycle if you have not. But he was tweeting about this thing, and he was trying to delete the album, and it kept coming back. And I guess it's just it shows because of iTunes Match. So he's delete number one. Hey, we're playing music for the common man. Delete again. Hey, we're still relevant. Delete again. Okay, we're corporate sellouts. Delete again. I can do this all day.
$100 million is the estimate that was paid to U2 for the ability for everyone to get it. It's been downloaded over 2 million times, and I believe that pays back at least some of the money Bono lost on Spider-Man Take Back the Dark. Ugh, sorry. Skip that idea. If you have ever wanted to read about Broadway and how a show went terribly, terribly wrong and wrong, go look that up on Wikipedia and some other news coverage. It's a very scary, scary thing. I think there's still some lawsuits regarding it going on still. The event itself resulted in a 4 million iPhone pre-order day that crashed various parts of various sites on various sides of people's. I know Rodney Edgar actually grabbed his through the Apple app. I know a couple of people who actually got theirs that way. And Buddy, I think, got a 6. Rodney got a 6 plus. So we have some people on staff who are going to be able to have one to talk about it on our various podcasts. And of course, this is all in run-up to iOS 8 coming out later this week. Probably you aren't able to download it.
So, yeah.
Buffering.
Busy.
I've got pieces of iOS 8 on my phone.
Busy.
Just part of it. Yeah.
Busy.
Yeah. Safari, Tim Cook, busy. So there's a lot of stuff that's going on here. Of course, there was also the mention of the A-Watch for eight. Wait, I'm going to stop myself from saying that. That does get in the way of that Android show's desire for A-Reports instead of I-Reports and iBlink Radio. The furor on the internets, be it in Facebook, Twitter, or general conversation on whether this has accessibility or not, has been very stout and, let's just say.
Guess what, people? Nobody knows.
We don't have a clue.
And you can speculate all day.
You can call Apple all you want, and I don't think they'll tell you because they don't really know what the A-Watch is going to be either. A-Watch, A-Mate. I'm Doctor Who reference, sorry. I just want A-Watch. Dr. David Tennant wearing an Apple Watch. No.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't think many caught, and we did talk about this a little bit on the triple click home Twitter feed, is that this is some lightweight hardware running Watch OS and uses an interface that kind of grabs some voiceover gestures. Like during the keynote demonstration, there was triple tap the face of the watch to be able to do this, that, or the other thing. The displays have a lot of zooming in and zooming out of focus, and there was a lot of circles. Like the generic look of the OS was a circle within a circle within a circle and a big silver dot in the middle. And of course, there was a lot of talk about the dial. So there's a lot of circumference in circles, and that's not the way that we look at things. We usually look at things in lists or grids. And Apple is phenomenal for changing things on the second iteration. So I don't know that anybody should get too excited about the first one. There's even a rumor that I saw on Triple Click this morning from the Twitter feed that said that there's already consideration of the next Apple Watch, which makes a lot of sense that, you know. So I don't know that we know anything anymore until the thing is finally released or until Apple feels like telling us. We do know that it's an accessory, and that continues the trend that we see in smartwatches. Certainly the Samsung Galaxy Gear, we made fun of it last year, but it connected to Samsung devices. Rene Ritchie over at iMore talked about how some of these devices need radios that would practically burn your arm if they weren't tethered to a phone. So maybe later these devices will be standalone. I hope so. But for now, for some of the functionality that they want initially, it connects to a phone. Now, the funny thing is, those of people on the social medias who complained about KNFB Reader or that they didn't want a Victor Reader Stream 2 or some other device like that were very up in arms about a device that could or could not work that cost at the very minimum the same price as a Victor Reader Stream 2. And
unless you get the solid gold one, which of course we all want.
Gold, gold is best.
Super
gold
expensive. Gold is best. Yes.
Conan O'Brien sketch that we're making reference to there. I still want one of these things. I don't care. I know I've said this publicly and I'm still standing by it. I'm very interested in these devices. There are four sensors on this thing that allow you to do payment plan, you know, like to be able to do confirmation of the payment, which is really neat. So you authorize it and then it's good to go until you take it off where it doesn't make connection with the skin anymore. Then you have to reauthorize it to be able to make payments. That is pretty
and
slick.
And that is really clever. That is very, very clever. I don't want one yet, whether it's one of these Samsungs or the Apple Watch or a couple of other people are doing this too, you know, pairing them with the Android phones. Microsoft, not so much, even though they were one of the first people to have a smartwatch of sorts, but it didn't do a whole lot.
There's a rumor that there might be one in October, but
we'll see. But I mean, it's they have such a small base in terms of Windows Phone or whatever that if this is not a standalone, it's going to be hard for them to get ahead in the market. So it's kind of one of those things where everybody thinks, well, Android and Apple have won this war for the moment just because they have big market share in terms of phones.
Poor Pebble.
But I know, bless its heart. But no, I don't want one of these yet. I will, though, when they get more sensors in it, because that's what I'm all about. I think it would be super cool to have, you know, temperature sensor, blood pressure, and of course the Apple Watch already has like a pulse sensor and some other things. But they've hired a bunch of fitness experts at Apple to work on this, and I don't think that they have nearly leveraged all that to its potential yet. So this is going to be first generation proof of concept, sort of, but they're already planning for the next one, I'm sure.
And it makes everybody not buy anything for Christmas.
I do like the kind of, well, we put a freeze on that until this thing comes out, doesn't it? I was thinking about a Galaxy Blank, and no. I was very impressed with last week. I thought Tim Cook was very, very much more comfortable in his presentations. I think you saw that Apple is coming out of transition. Certainly, they took some time to reassess after the passing of Mr. Jobs, and the nice homage with the one more thing, which I think was just brilliant. Getting Justin Timberlake and Jimmy Fallon to do the spokesman, you know, kind of a Mac PC thing all over again, but getting two recognizable people from Saturday Night Live and other places is going to be huge for them. They hired a bunch of really smart people. Apple is not shallow, nor is it dumb. There was a lot of amazing stuff last week. It is ironic, though, to think that they changed the conversation on phones all over again. So all the pundits and fanboys who said, I don't want a big phone, I would never carry a big phone. Hey, I just pre-ordered my blank phone. You know, it just And Samsung coming out and saying, hey, we've been making a big thing you hold to your head for like 4 years. You know, welcome to the party. Actually is more of an omission in a lot of ways that Samsung might be a little worried because Apple's now starting to roll into their territory. That was always the big differentiator was, yeah, but that's small. There's going to be a lot of interest with Retina HD on how well that text is displayed for low vision users. It could look like the iPad layout is the new default layout. It certainly looks interesting with pixel density. iOS 8, we'll talk about this when it's released, is probably going to have a lot of people up in arms and how VoiceOver changed. Expect that in your Twitter feeds. Can't say much more than that at the moment. So there is a lot of interesting things that came out of that organizational retread last Tuesday, but I was very impressed with the keynote as a whole. Ricky, you and I didn't get to talk about this much. Jamie and Buddy did. How did you feel about last week?
You know, I wanted to watch the keynote live last week just because I usually don't watch any of this kind of coverage. I usually check out live blogs, and I started to listen, and of course, there was the Chinese translation.
We are launching the biggest advancement in the history of iPhone.
And my browser kept crashing, and I kept losing connection to that. So I was one of these people that got sort of bitten by Apple having a problem, which turns out, by the way, it was not a capacity issue. They had done something with JavaScript, and I won't say much more than that because I don't really remember what it was, but
yeah, something with provisioning
it was a
also.
Problem with that. And so that's why people kind of kept getting kicked out. But the portions of this that I did see where I wasn't just giving up and looking at the live blogs, I think Tim felt very comfortable. And what I really like about Tim is that Apple is not Tim Cook, and he makes that very clear. Oh, Apple is
having everybody stand up
team.
At the end. Yes. I thought that was smart.
He acknowledges all of the people that helped this get to where it is. You know, Craig, Phil Schiller, everybody.
And spread it around. It wasn't a Craig show again.
That was very good.
Yeah.
No.
Right.
Yeah, it's fun to watch their marketing and how they deal with Sherlocking apps, how they deal with kind of saying, you know, we've always been at war with Eurasia, i.e., no, you always wanted a 6 and a 4-point inch and a 5.5. No, you've always wanted that until we said it, you know, and Retina HD. Yes, it was 720 before it was HD, but now it's really, really HD at 1080. I love to watch that theater in action. And certainly last week, there was some wonderful ways of approaching it, all the way down to the bingo card with Johnny Ive in the white room and the turtleneck talking about how great the Apple Watch was. That was very interesting to watch. Things that we didn't really hear a whole bunch about. We didn't hear a whole bunch about HomeKit, CarKit, very little about HealthKit, which probably could show up at another event this year, maybe.
Yeah.
I thought HealthKit would really get some attention because of the Apple Watch. And I keep wanting to say iWatch.
I know.
But, you know, it's actually...
It's like we need a swear jar where we put a nickel in there every time we do it on the podcast.
No, what I really need is a soundboard because it's not the Apple Apple watch. It is the picture of the Apple logo watch. And so I think there needs to be like an audio equivalent, the sound that the Mac makes when it turns on. You just play that and then say watch, yeah. Or learn how to do an impression of that, yeah. And then say watch.
Yeah.
It is the watch.
Yeah, just like noise.
That'll be fun in Braille. We'll see how people handle that. Yeah.
Get the United Standard on an Apple logo. For how many cells that would be and what it would look like. And I think what was fascinating was the kind of stepping around any of the issues that happened the week before, and they certainly made people forget about that, which I think was just amazing, the way that they kind of skipped over some of the security aspects that had happened the week before. What I have noticed, though, is the Kool-Aid wore off pretty quickly. In a lot of tech sectors, there was a lot of business as usual, and dare I say, close to Apple bashing.
I didn't even really see the sugar rush happened, it was kind of the people that might normally have swallowed the Kool-Aid sort of started out maybe a little snarky, or just there wasn't that same magic where you have, say, 2 or 3 days of yay, followed by, wait a minute, not yay. No, it was kind of immediately people were, oh yeah, Apple, you did this wrong and you didn't give us this and all of that. So it was kind of interesting to watch, but Apple did give two choices of phones. We obviously don't see an update to the 5C, so that may have just been, that was an interesting experiment. Let's sort of forget about that. Instead, let's give you a big old phone and a ginormous phone. How about that?
But it ends the argument on what the difference is between a C and an S, right? I mean, that was kind of them learning, which is what they do. They usually learn and come at it differently the next time around.
So, Jamie, are you going to upgrade, and which thingy are you thinking about?
I am, and I'm almost 99% certain that I will go with the iPhone 6. The only reason I would even consider the 6 Plus is image stabilization and thinking about apps like KNFB Reader.
Right.
But I do text one-handed. I do answer the call sometimes or whatever. I use my phone one-handed more often than I think even I realize.
Right.
And I'm really concerned about a bulky phone that would be unwieldy and fit nicely in the pocket.
Yes.
I'm really thinking probably the 6.
You saw my Galaxy S5, which is pretty close to the 6 versus the 6 Plus. You've said before you are not a huge fan of the bulky phones, but you know, if you guys are going to stay in the Apple universe, you kind of have to, you know, it's an upgrade year. Hi, which one would you like to choose?
Yeah. There's not a lot of choice, actually, in terms of, but what if I didn't want to bigger phone? Yeah, well, too bad.
If you're in the 4 series, you don't got a choice. If you're in the 4 series, you've got to make this choice. If you're in a 5, you can live for a little longer. If you're in a 5S or a 5C, you don't have to make that choice. But if you're a 4S, you are really going
to
notice.
Yeah, it's time to upgrade. Yeah. And for me, I am going to upgrade to a 6. I have not pre-ordered. I will get it soon, but I didn't pre-order, and I probably won't go to the store the day of, but soon I will have one. It's been interesting to me, like really, really fascinating how many blind people are going for the 6 Plus, specifically for the image stabilization and for the better battery life. And actually, they usually name... They usually name the image stabilization thing before they talk about the bigger battery life. And what I find so strange about that is that I didn't know there were so many people, and I'm still not entirely sure there are this many people doing OCR from their phones on a daily basis. It's just one of those things that is a selling point. Well, if I want to, then I have this hardware stabilization. And it sounds like a good thing to have. In my mind, that's great to have better battery life. Everybody wants better battery life. And of course, image stabilization is a nice to have. But the number of times that I'm going to be using my phone for OCR are just not enough to justify having this big phone whose form factor I'm really probably not going to like. So, yeah, I'm definitely going for the 6.
Negates the need to have an iPad mini.
It, I would assume that it does, yes. But the interesting thing is that if you don't want a bigger phone and you still do want to upgrade, there is still the 5S and the 5C. So if you don't care about NFC yet, if you don't care about AAC wireless,
and you can avoid it for some other things.
You can do this. Yeah, well, it's $99 on contract, of course, but you can do that and still have a fairly decent phone that isn't bigger. But, you know, 2 years from now, you're still going to have to make the decision of if they haven't shrunk phones by then, you're putting off the inevitable.
I don't think they will. This felt like a dig at Android to get in that market to win over older Americans to, you know, kind of have one format and phase out kind of the classic iPhone resolution. We'll see a lot of that kind of deprecation going on because Apple's pretty good about saying, hey, developers, move to here or don't move at all. So they're not going to let things get too fragmented with all the different experiences across all these different lines. They're old enough now that they actually have to worry about that. But they're lucky enough in that almost everybody adopts the latest version of an operating system, and that allows you to move people forward, except for those who, you know, hardware can't. In fact, my mom wanted to use the iPad 1 for the NFL app for the start of the NFL season, and it came up and said, you need to update this. And then I clicked, okay, go for it, and it then black screened the iPad 1. So, you know, iOS 5 is pretty much out of here and gone, and 6 isn't too far behind it. And sadly to report, it seems that the iPod Classic is also now no longer with us. That was one of the things that happened during the September 9th extravaganza was when the Apple Store came back up, that page was no longer there.
Bye-bye, well, iPod Classic.
Yes. How we there's an awesome article that we probably should go ahead and put it in the show notes, Joe. It's the Requiem of the iPod, and that is a phenomenal article. Funny, well-written, definitely
started
include
a
that.
User interface revolution, literally.
Yeah.
With a big brown click wheel.
With a dial.
Yeah.
Look up revolution. MacBook wheel on The Onion, one of my very favorite Onion stories ever, the MacBook wheel. Yeah, it's interesting to think, and of course that was 160 gigs in some cases, so that was the most storage you could get for kind of offline music listening. Now you're down to like 128. And 128 is pretty good because if you get, you know, like the 200 gig iCloud backup, you know, you can at least back your entire phone up, which is a neat idea. Yeah. Those prices were revamped. That also came out of the event. You know, for the most part, I was very impressed with last week. I know some people were not, or they thought that it was just a lot of Me Toos. But those Me Toos are pretty heavy, and they allow Apple to just sling it back and forth on Android and Windows Phone and other devices. Apple Pay remains to be seen. And the reason why I'm trepidatious here, first of all, NFC, welcome to our world. We are victorious. Hi. Is going to be mostly America. The majority of iPhone adoption happens in North America, and outside the United States, that's not as much. So it remains to be seen how you take your phone and you travel internationally, how that will work or how well it will work. Certainly the way that they're doing tokenization and what they're doing with retail is really fascinating. And they're taking advantage of a lot of things that are happening in retail, which is you've got to upgrade. We're going to get rid of the old credit card system. We're moving to chip and pin like the EU and others. So Apple weighing in right as retailers are going to have to upgrade anyway is a perfect window of opportunity for them and very smart, but also adding a little bit more of a private ability to use those devices is even more fascinating. Now, there are some retailers who've kind of said, look, it's going to cost too much, so we're not going to do this right away, which would be Walmart and Best Buy, but a lot of others are going to do this. And I'm still kind of not sure how this is going to work on the web. There's going to be a way of being able to use Apple Pay on the web, which is going to be kind of interesting to see how that works. And because if that is a way to buy things online without having to do some of the classic places and issues that we run into in retail and other places, accessible-wise, that is a game changer for this community hugely. Notice there's only iPhones that are doing this, not necessarily iPads, or yet this really does fuel the speculation for a new iPad using some of these features we're going to see in the 6 and the 6 Plus.
So that means that there are going to be a flurry, I tell you, of podcasts demonstrating iPhone 6, iPhone 6 Plus, KNFB Reader running on both of these phones, mobile pay and how they work, new voiceover gestures in iOS 8, and much more. And you know where you can find all that stuff?
Where,
on iBlink
Jamie?
Radio.
Where?
Ah, ooh. On iBlink Radio is the place. Just flick on down to the podcast section and just surf. Just surf to your heart's content. Apple Viz and Dr. Carter and Triple Click Home, of course. And gosh, my mind's going blank and I'm leaving people out and now I'm going to feel bad. So sorry if I left you out.
There's all sorts of folks, yeah.
And, there and is.
I don't know that we will include these, but they were There will probably even be people posting audio boos while standing in line to get their iPhone 6.
I'm sure there will. Speaking of standing in line or being on the line, coming up after the break, I have an addiction and it's time to confess. And Joe is on hold pre-ordering his iPhone 6 right here on Sarah Talk Podcast 211.
Hims is proud to introduce the Blaze EZ, our new handheld multiplayer. Blaze EZ gives you power and versatility in a device that's simple to use. Blaze EZ is in a league all of its own. A 5-megapixel camera gives you the power to scan menus, brochures, and other printed texts. Wi-Fi gives you access to podcasts, internet radio, and other content. Bluetooth lets you connect wirelessly to an external speaker of your choice. And there's so much more. For more information, visit us at www.hims-inc.com. Hims, your needs are our solutions.
Welcome back to Sarah Talk Podcast 211, and it's time for Mailbag to turn down that music.
What?
Mailbag. Good.
Turn
night,
it down.
Wow.
Just because it was free doesn't mean you need to play it. Stop. Stop the madness.
Over and over. Yes.
Delete
you can go
it.
Hang
just
out with
back.
The Edge if you'll just turn it down.
Yeah, if you really want music, why don't you go look up the theme to The Batman by The Edge? Yeah, that's the bomb.
There you go.
You did say that Mailbag had some good bass response going on there. So
Mailbag really does. There's that cavity that just has this nice bass going on.
Boom. Just bearing. Just blowing out there. I'm telling you, it's Mailbag gets its own party.
Yes.
Party in a mailbag.
That's right. And I reports in a mailbag. We have those too. This one comes from Mary Ellen Earls, and I love to get messages like this, kind of just continuing the discussions of things like scratch and sniff that we've talked about before.
Mary Ellen Earls, that was a delightful podcast, 210 was. I want to just talk about the scratch and sniff books. I remember kind of seeing them as hand-me-downs, and by the time I got them, there was no sniff left, but there were plenty of things to scratch. And then another book that my mother got, and I don't know if this was for me or for my brothers and sisters, and it was not Braille, of course, but it had pages, and each page had a little activity. And the first page, I strictly remember, had a little shoestring, and you had to learn how to tie your shoes. And the second one was, I think, a little scrap of material with a snap, and you had to learn to snap something. And I think the third one was buttoning, and the fourth one was zipping a zipper and things like that. But I particularly remember the tying of the shoe because I was at a very embarrassing age when I finally learned how to tie my shoes. And that was because I am so completely left-handed, and nobody could figure out how to teach a left-handed blind person to do much of anything, let alone tie her shoes. But anyway, that's all for today, and keep up the good work, folks.
So yeah, that's kind of neat, although I would have been really disappointed to get the scratch and sniff thing and all of the sniff was gone. I did have The Secret of NIMH. I remember that one. It was a print Braille book and had all these scratch and sniff thingies in there, and eventually the sniff did run out on it, but that was all my fault because I kept scratching and scratching and scratching. But I think it's, again, neat that we can talk about some of these things that are cultural touchstones in a way.
When scratch and sniff goes away, it's like it smells like something, but you can't quite decide what.
Yeah, it's like this faint odor of It again reminds me of perfume shopping where they talk about here are the top notes and the middle notes and then the dry down smells like blah, blah, blah. So you get that with scratch and sniff too. It might start out smelling like popcorn, but the dry down eventually smells like gum or something. next up, we have a couple of emails. This first one is from Greg Woker, and he has some comments for episode 210. We were talking about drones and indoor mapping, and he says that the only thing he keeps thinking about when we talk about this is seeing eye drones. It's the wave of the future. This could very
unless
well
you ride
be.
Share, then you cannot have them.
No, no, you can't take your drone on a vehicle.
No,
maybe it can just like fly behind you. Next, he was watching the most recent episode of Windows Weekly, and they had an ad promoting Cortana,
yes,
and says
did.
That we should check it out because it's apparently really, really funny. Unless we're big old Apple fans,
it's a support group. And it's people having a support group about how Siri doesn't understand them, but it comes off like a relationship group where, you know, she just doesn't understand me or my partner doesn't understand me kind of thing. But it's, you know,
yeah.
I ask her for reservations and I don't get there or it tells me how many things are near me, but it wasn't what I was even asking for. And it's just like a self-help group, you know, and it's people, and it's a wonderful, it takes a long time to get there. I know exactly what he's talking about, but you don't know that it's kind of a ad for Cortana until you go about 4 or 5 minutes into it. It's very funny. I think there's a link, if not in the Windows Weekly notes, we'll see what we can find to see if we can link it in our own show notes. But it's a neat ad and very much that same thing as the one that Ricky and I mention all the time. What if Google was a person? Three. And that one's really funny because there's a question about Google when you search and then Siri. That isn't even what they were asking for, kind of thing.
Yes, very good stuff indeed. And then there's the ones where, you know, the husband and wife are communicating with each other through Siri. That one was a little bit disturbing and funny, too. I haven't seen any of those through Google Voice or Cortana, though, which is kind of interesting. You know, both of those don't have quite the same personality as Siri does, at least not yet.
Not yet, yeah.
Not yet. Last, we have an email from Tamer Zaid, and I hope I pronounced your name right. Sorry if I did not. But he makes a couple of good points. He talks about how these phones, along with possibly the Apple Watches and things, could assist in whether it's indoor navigation or outdoor navigation, and that the iPhone is one of those things that is really helpful to him. He travels and has some short-term memory loss issues along with blindness, and so knowing how to use the cane isn't the problem, but the problem is memorizing the route. So as it stands now, he would be practicing over and over and over and over again. And having a tool like the iPhone can be really, really helpful. And I think it's good to point this out because this technology is not only useful in some way to all of us, but also we all have differing capabilities when it comes to travel. And I've seen people sort of get all uppity with other blind people and say, well, I can do it this way. Why can't you? What's your problem? You're just lazy, or you're just this, or you're just that. And I don't think that's the case. We all have different capabilities, and we can use this technology in various ways to be more independent. He also talks about the 3D tactile images, and they do make sense to him because he could see before. And having seen 3D, that makes a little more sense now when he looks at it on paper. But for those who haven't seen before, you know, maybe this is still a bit of a mystery. So thank you, Tamer, for writing in. And thanks to all the rest of you who have sent in iReports and emails. We appreciate all of those very much, as does Mailbag. Mailbag enjoys storing up all that feedbacky goodness. So if you want to give us some of that, Send us an email, resources@serotalk.com. Leave us an iReport from your iBlink radio app on the iOS device of your choice, or Android, Kindle Fire, or even, how about the Mac? You could do that too. We are everywhere. Also, you can head on over to serotalk.com, give us a comment on the blog, or give us a call on the blab line, 866-997-2522.
Or you can fill out a survey, short survey that we have available in the show notes at serotalk.com. Rate us on iTunes if you listen to us there and subscribe to us. That's fantastic. Just drop us, you know, a one sentence or two sentence review if that's a little too much to ask. Just rating the podcast helps us a great deal and also helps out other podcasts that you hear on iBlink Radio. A lot of our podcasts are blindness related there, as you know. And by rating us, you also help them get more visibility. And together, we can actually get more people to listen to these types of podcasts. So it's an easy way to give back to the Serotalk podcast by leaving us a comment or clicking on a link or just rating us. So if you can do that, that also helps other podcasts as well. And we thank you for it.
It's time now for Roundabout. Wow, you know, oh, wait, I think I'm getting a text alert. Oh, actually,
oh,
no.
Check it's that. No?
Not, it was just my imagination. I thought my phone vibrated.
Phantom vibrations.
Your pre-order is in? Oh, wait, no, wait.
You know, and I might wake up at midnight and check Facebook, maybe, or I might check work email at 6 a.m. I'm not saying I do, but... If all of these things were true, I might have a problem. I might actually have something that apparently in my brain would look like an addiction. Very similar.
That is a trip. And the really bad part is I kind of believe it because I've seen people like this. You know, they'll post something on Twitter and then check back 2 minutes later. Did I get any mentions? Did anybody retweet? How many people have retweeted? I got to have these push notifications enabled on my phone in case somebody says something. Ooh, they said something.
True. We have an article here that talks all about this. And then it's actually quite a short little article, but the point is very well taken, I think, that we keep saying it over and over. We got to turn off a little bit. We've got to push back from some of this stuff.
Yes. This is why Joe took a cruise, because international waters means data cost a lot. And so
yes.
Turning that off was fantastic.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man.
But, definitely.
But at the same time, you should go subscribe to twitter.com/tripleclickhome if you want to be able to keep up on the latest. Oh, sorry. Wait. No, that's wrong.
Yeah.
Did somebody mention us just now?
I possibly.
Wow. Go check.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Jamie's phone hadn't come in yet. He's still waiting. So.
Yep.
But he's installing iOS 8. He keeps putting up status reports of how much the oh, good grief. That's going to be so bad on the 17th.
That's going to be fun. I will be happy to turn off Twitter on that day.
Yes.
There are days we just can avoid that. But I can tell you there are days I wish we could avoid old music, like 15 hours of old music. Wow.
Wow.
This poor Australian man was on hold for 15 hours, and he may have been a fan of Handel to begin with, but possibly at the end, not so much. We have an article here that talks about this poor man's journey and that it became a quest for him to find out just how fast that they would be getting back to him because, you know, they would get to him as soon as possible. And he left it on.
Just how soon is that?
He did things around the house. He just had this going in the background. And oh, man, that is unreal. I have heard like I'm on certain boards for certain organizations and they use free conference call type things. And I have heard those three songs that are in rotation on the various free conference call
And it's just like this over and over and over.
I like the ones that are different because it's like, ooh, I'm going to jam to this. This is a different song and tempo. I kind of like, I liked it the first 62 times I heard it. You know, I'm kind of sort of done.
I remember calling WordPerfect tech support one time, and they had a DJ. It's like, you're listening
dude.
To
and
WordPerfect radio.
Exactly. It's like, that's a
WPR something.
That's what no, you what know. Was you're file, be on what was the hold file?
What was
the file format?
What did it say, Baz?
WP. It wasn't it WPS?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So. Yeah. So
WPS.
Dot WPS radio. No, that sounds wrong.
Yes.
It just sounds wrong. Corel confusion.
There you go.
There you go.
Oh, my
I like
gosh.
That one.
Yeah, that this when one goes out to really... the guys who are downloading Word Perfect Suite right now.
What I found super interesting about this was kind of the history of this and how hold music even came to be. Like initially people were just on hold in order for the call to go through. And eventually they'd say, you know, hold the line, you're connecting to New York or wherever it was that you were going, and you'd get all excited. But later on, they had to do something when it would take companies a little while to get on the line and things. And they found out that silence wasn't a good idea, which I would totally agree with, because you don't even
the
know
sound
if
of silence.
The line
yeah.
is still mm-hmm. open or like, yeah. okay, did
they
hang
drop
up,
me off?
Or?
Where am I?
Yeah. What happened? So
they could at least give me the noise of the atomic clock. The time is.
Yes.
And what I really hate is the music's going along and music's uh-huh. going along and then uh-huh. it interrupts and you're like, yes, somebody's here. Your call is very important to us. Like, why did you interrupt to
no,
tell
no,
me
no,
that?
No. No, worse is, did you know that most answers could be found on our website? You could travel
oh,
there now.
Yes.
You could have saved us time and you time by going to the website. Kind of hard to do AT&T when my internet is down.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
precisely.
UVerse is awesome because each one of their departments has kind of a different song, but you still get that do-do-do noise that pops in every once in a while.
Oh, it, yes,
there's
you do.
Even a song. That's actually the opening to a song that they play on hold. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. There's like a remixed version of the AT&T tones. Oh, good night. So, yeah, that's kind of yeah. interesting. Hey, let us know what your favorite, well, all right, your least favorite hold music story is and give us a line yeah. on iReport feedback or send us on in an email and let us know what you think was one of your worst times with hold music. We'd love to hear about it.
Joe made reference to it earlier. I am about to visit with Mr. Pratik Patel about Windows Phone. We don't talk about that a lot, but we're going to today on this podcast. So what does Pratik think? How's it coming along? What are his predictions for the future of Windows Phone? You're going to find all that right here after the news. I'd like to thank you all for joining us, as Joe just said. Until next time, have a great week, everybody.
Thanks for listening.
As promised earlier, I am joined by Pratik Patel on this week's Sarah Talk podcast. And first of all, Pratik, welcome to SPN. Glad to have you.
Thank you so much for having me on. That's going to be fantastic.
So let's talk about something that, quite honestly, I don't know a lot about at all. So I am personally very interested in what you have to say today. We're talking about Windows Phone and the accessibility or state of accessibility with regard to that platform. So first of all, kind of talk to us a little bit about maybe what phone or phones that you have tested and some general thoughts, and then we'll kind of move into some specifics.
Sure, absolutely. I was very excited to hear that Microsoft has finally released an early version of Narrator on Windows Phone this earlier this year when they put out Windows 8 and 8.1 update. And as we were starting to look at Windows 8 and Windows Narrator on it, I thought the best device that I could take a look at was not a too small device, but not an iPad size, huge device. So I was looking around and found myself a great deal on eBay. Got a brand new Nokia 1520. It's a 6-inch diagonal device. So it's pretty large. It's a phablet size device. It feels extremely solid in your hands. Pretty large too. And, you know, as somebody who tests these phones, for my personal use, it would be a too large device, but it would be fantastic to test because we wanted to make sure that all the gestures that Microsoft had included in Narrator would work.
Excellent. So you mentioned, obviously, Narrator. What are the voices like? Can you compare them to anything, or are they very similar to like Windows 8.1 or whatever?
The US version has two voices, and they're the same voices that you get when you use Windows 8.1. Windows 8. If you're used to Windows 8, and if you use RT or if you turned on the narrator feature in Windows 8, you'll find two different voices, a male and a female, and those are the exact same voices that you'll see on the phone. And they sound actually fantastic.
Great. Good deal. So what is the setup process like? I mean, everyone always wants to know about the out-of-box experience.
I started using Narrator with a preview version of Windows Update, and the setup experience itself was pretty horrible. When I got the phone, it decided that it was going to put itself in a UK mode out of the box, and Narrator at the time was not available in UK. So ideally, the process is that you hold on to the volume up button and press the Windows key or the start button. It's not an actual button. It's a soft button in the middle of the screen at the bottom. There are three buttons, back, Windows, and search. And that start button, if you hold on to that and the volume up, it would turn Narrator on. But unfortunately, I had a pretty hard time getting that up. So I had to use and get sighted assistance to actually reset the phone several times. And unfortunately, we encountered a lot of issues with getting the phone from its original Chinese to US English. Once we got to US English, I was able to ask for assistance and get the phone to start up in a mode with Narrator. Unfortunately, I had to go through the settings to be able to do that. The shortcut key that Microsoft had defined did not work. Keep in mind that this was a preview version. From what I understand, some of those problems have been solved. Narrator is still not available in other languages, and some startup problems still exist. But for the most part, if you get a phone, if you're trying to set it up in the English language, you'll find that using that shortcut command will work and Narrator will turn on. And it's the same shortcut that you find in Windows RT as well.
Okay. You mentioned gestures earlier. What are they like? Are they comparable to either iOS or Android?
We have a few gestures available. Comparisons are a little premature at the time. What I can tell you about Windows Phone and Narrator is that it's a preview version. At least I call it a preview version. I would almost call it beta. Mm-hmm. And the best usage for Narrator right now is in Internet Explorer. And the way gestures work is somewhat similar to iOS than Android. And some of the gestures you'll find are fairly similar to what you've seen in Windows 8 and Narrator. So for example, if you use left and right flicks, you'll move from element to element, and the up and down flick changes the different levels of navigation. So for example, if you are an Internet Explorer, if you use the up and down flick, you'll get to different elements. So for example, headings. You can get to headings, and then if you use left and right, you will get to from one heading to another. Same thing with buttons, you get tables, you get lists. So Internet Explorer right now is the most advanced.
Okay, that's very interesting. So what if you had to put Internet Explorer at number one, what would be a couple other possible apps that are usable at this stage of the game?
The apps are being updated all the time. So this is going to change from week to week. And they're actually doing a fairly good job of including accessibility in a lot of the apps. Right now, on the system itself, the best place to use Narrator is the settings app, the settings area, followed by the People app, which is fairly good. It's not there yet. And even in the settings app, mm-hmm. Since I consider this to be a beta application, I find that there are several components that are not accessible. So, for example, you'll find buttons that are not labeled. There are just key things that are missing at the moment.
So what about Cortana? I mean, we are familiar with Siri. We're familiar with being able to talk to our Android phones. Can we do that yet in Windows Phone?
We can, but it's an awkward process. So the way you get to Cortana in Windows Phone is to hold on to the search button. And if you have Narrator turned on, you're not able to do that because there is no bypass gesture. So in Android and in iOS, you may be familiar with the bypass gesture, which is double tap and hold. That gesture is not yet available in Narrator. I feel like it's coming.
Okay.
There is a manual way to turn on Cortana by pulling up the interface and pressing a button, which is not labeled yet. So that functionality is coming, but it's not here yet.
It sounds to me like what you're saying is if a person's just going to look for a phone for everyday use, Windows Phone might not be your cup of tea just yet. Am I reading that right?
Absolutely. I completely agree with that statement. The gestures that Narrator has defined seem to be fairly intuitive. And I feel like the thought that's gone behind putting together these gestures will really let Microsoft move forward and define more things that they need to, as opposed to, again, this is my personal opinion, so don't shoot me. But I think Android, in some respects, some cases the gestures are good. In other cases, they just put things together, thrown things at the wall, hoping that they'll work, as opposed to really strategically thinking about what the gestures will be.
Sure.
The other thing I can tell you is that the interface itself, the interaction feels very smooth. So the level of interactivity that's available with Narrator and the way you can interact with the system is actually really, really good. It doesn't feel haphazard at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, we have a couple of things missing. Apps are not accessible because it's a very early stage. Give it about a year, and then we'll have to have another conversation about how good it is.
Very interesting. Well, this has been very insightful, and I really appreciate you taking the time because I know there's so many questions that people have, and yet, you know, many of us don't have access to a lot of devices to work with, and quite frankly, don't have the patience or even the skill to play with early betas in many cases. So it's really great when someone like yourself will come on and kind of give us some thoughts.
Sure, it's my pleasure. I mean, you know, you have one thing that I can tell you is that when you look at the interface, as I mentioned, there are a couple of things missing. So there's a, on the phone itself, there's a status bar where you can get to the battery status and a couple of other pieces of information. And there's the notification center in the latest update. With Narrator, you can't get to that notification center yet. And that's a bit problematic. I mean, which is one of the reasons why I call it a beta at the moment.
Mm-hmm. So what would be a good way for people to contact you if they have questions or maybe would just like to learn more about your work?
There are a couple of places you can find me. I'm on all the social networks if people want to reach me. The best, in my opinion, is Twitter. You can get to me at PPATEL, and that's on Twitter. You can find me on LinkedIn, Facebook. My email address is Pratik, PRATIKP1, at gmail.com.
Well, Pratik, I'd like to thank you for taking the time to drop by and visit with us here on the Serotalk podcast.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Serotalk. Visit us online at www.serotalk.com. Send an email to resources@serotalk.com. Leave us an iReport using iBlink Radio, available on the App Store and Google Play. Or call the Blab line at 1-866-997-BLAB. That's 2522. Join us next week as we explore all that life and the internet have to offer. Until then, may you have an accessible digital life.